Good morning. You've tuned in for North Idaho News of the Week. I'm Jack Peterson. Chris Bessler out today. Unfortunately, Chris is under the weather, but hopefully we'll have him back with us here in the studio next Friday. Fortunately, I'm not alone. I'm here with Jack Freeman from the Bonner County Daily Bee. Jack's a staff reporter and covers the city and education beat for the Daily Bee. Well, I'll lay our cards on the table. I'll say good afternoon to you, Jack. We are pre-recording this show, so if there's been any really breaking news in the last few hours of this morning or late last night, you will not hear about it on this show. And that also means that if you have any corrections you want to submit live while we're here on the air, you won't be able to get through to us live. We are slightly pre-recording this show, but Jack is here. I'm here, and we have a whole bunch of news to discuss. Thanks for coming in, Jack.
Thanks for having me, and I'm really happy to be pre-recording. Get my hour of sleep back on Friday, so That'll be nice.
Okay, well, you're happy about it. I feel a little out of sorts. I mean, I usually get these extra few hours to like to read the news on Thursdays and into Thursday night and kind of sleep on it for a little bit. But that's the way it goes. We will try to stick to the format nevertheless, and I will start with the headlines. On the statewide report, the new legislative session has not yet begun. It's not yet underway, but it will kick off on Monday. January 12th is the first day of the legislature, and that day will also be, we are expecting the State of the State address from Governor Brad Little on January 12th, coming up next week. Idaho, it was announced on December 30th, will receive nearly $930 million in federal funds to improve rural healthcare access. This grant comes from the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, and is expected to be used for technology, training, and infrastructure. More about that, I'm sure, in coming, weeks, months, and as the whole program is implemented. But $930 million, no small amount of change for the state of Idaho. Here in the city of Sandpoint, which is, I think, where we're going to spend most of our time this morning discussing, the city saw an active city council meeting, the first meeting of the year this past Wednesday, January 7th, 2026. The mayor swore in three city council members, returning city council member Joel Espiro, as well as new city councilors Joe Tate and Joshua Torres all took the oath of office, and the outgoing city council members Justin Dick and Rick Howarth said their fond farewells to their fellow city councilors. So it's a new era on city council. We have a pretty big shakeup, I would say, on city council, and it'll be interesting to see how things develop over the next 2 years before the next municipal election. Also in the city of Sandpoint, the Planning and Zoning Department met and discussed downtown zoning changes that could mean a new zoning district is coming to Sandpoint. We'll be talking about that with Jack in just a minute. And at the tail end of last year, Averill Hospitality took a step forward with the company's submission of a building permit to the city for their 56 Bridge Street Hotel development. That's the down by City Beach, the old Edgewater Hotel. Averill Hospitality submitted their building permits just before the end of the year, and the company now has 180 days to pay an invoice to the city for staff to begin reviewing that building permit. Jack, where do you want to start? Well, there's more going on, certainly, as well as some developments in the county. The County Fair Board met, but it seems like it was this particular meeting, at least, no blockbuster news in any of the papers yet for the county fair, but always interesting to see what's going on over there. But as far as the city, should we talk about Averill? Should we talk about planning and zoning? Should we talk about that city council meeting? What do you want to start with, Jack? It's your show as much as mine.
Well, I've spent my morning writing and digging into last night's city council meeting, so that's the freshest in my mind.
Perfect.
Maybe we should start there.
Okay. So Wednesday night, the city council met, and give us your take on how it went. This was the first meeting for two new councilors, the last for two outgoing councilors, and Joel Espiro also sworn in again after he won re-election in November. That was, I believe, just reading the coverage, I take it that was more or less the first order of business was the swearing in. Yeah.
Yeah. So they approved, you know, the minutes and payables. Mm-hmm. That was the final act of the old counselors. And then they stepped off. They got a very nice picture frame from the city. And it seems like a letter. And then the new counselors were sworn in after the thank yous and all that. The families were there. It was very cool to see everybody kind of in a celebratory mood, mm-hmm. Which didn't end up lasting too long at the council meeting, as it kind of, they dug into the issues, you know. But that was the beginning of the meeting, really good. Also want to give a shout out to Joshua Torres's mother, who stuck it out the whole council meeting, which most family members did not do. So that was a worthy shout out.
This one went, I think, about two and a half hours, if I saw correctly. It's a decent size meeting, and it wasn't a purely ceremonial kind of swearing in and we'll get down to business later. They dove right into it. What do you think was there? What were those consequential decisions? What was the conversation about, and what was decided?
Well, yeah, the primary discussion point was a land use agreement between the city and Bridge Street LLC, who owns the property that is right now a hole in the ground with some nice metal fencing on it. Previously, the council had talked about, expanding that sidewalk. They were going to expand it to 12 feet, and there was a lot of discussion there about, is this the right project? They needed to build a retaining wall to do it, and they were going to use a security bond from Bridge Street LLC to pay for 90% of it. And there was discussion, you know, and a lot of dissent from primarily Kyle Schreiber, who spoke about, you know, it's a really expensive sidewalk. He felt like the developer really should be handling this, because in this land swap agreement, which is really one of the hearts of the issues, this 2020 land swap, the city traded the south entrance of Gunning's Alley for that sidewalk right there on Bridge Street.
Okay, sorry, I'm trying to picture that. I know Gunning's Alley, the entrance. They didn't previously own that sidewalk. The city, that was previously not city property. That was owned by the developer.
The
property
owner.
Okay.
So that switch, mm-hmm. in it, they basically said, you know, hey, developer, you have to do all the certain things like expanding the sidewalk and a couple of other things with mm-hmm. Gunning's Alley. And if you don't, you're going to pay us a security bond, basically, and then we'll do it. Mm-hmm. And the developer hasn't done it. And so the city in November of last year was like, okay, well, then we'll do it.
Yeah.
We'll use the security bond and we'll do it. It was more expensive. They were going to use the whole security bond just on the sidewalk because they need to build a retaining wall. Originally, the building that is was mm-hmm. supposed to be there is going to be the retaining wall.
It's going to serve as the retaining wall.
Yeah, but there's right? no building there. So yeah.
okay.
They would have to build one. And so they moved forward with it, and construction was supposed to start in December. And then the way that I understand it was that the landowner, Bridge Street LLC, wasn't going to allow them to use his property to build the retaining wall, which they needed to do to keep yeah. the project moving forward. So that's where this land use agreement comes from. There was a lot of discussion at the council meeting, a lot of confusion about that, about, you know, really how we ended up here, because it's like six different decisions over mm-hmm. the course of 6 years, and city councilors and mayors and city administrators gone by that have kind of left them in this situation. So what ended up happening is the council voted 4-2 to reject the land use agreement because the developer and the city was committing to maintaining vehicular access to Gunnings Alley from the north, which is by the Panada.
Yep. Okay.
So they were basically just saying, you know, mm-hmm. if we move forward with this project, the developer yeah. wanted to know that he'll have vehicular access at least from the north, because he's going to yeah. build over the south.
Oh, interesting.
That's his plan.
Okay.
So like I said, very complicated. And what ends up happening is a lot of the counselors feel like, hey, we're already paying to do the sidewalk that you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And now you're asking for us to be beholden to you in some way to maintain. Even if we were going to do it already, we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And without this land use agreement, the project is no longer moving forward currently. Kyle Schreiber gave out a couple different ideas for how the sidewalk would go about being expanded. But for right now, it's not moving forward. And the downside of the city for not is not moving forward with it is they spent $60,000 on engineering, which will now sit on the shelf because the project's not happening anymore. Mm-hmm. And they contracted Big Sky Corp, these contractors, to build it on December 1st. And from how I understand it, the contractor cleared their schedule and they were being very patient. But now that the project's not moving forward, they're still going to be paid something. And that's going to come out of the general fund mm-hmm. of the city. And it's going to be a large sum, I believe. They kind of avoided saying how much it would be or making an estimate on the dais. But repeatedly, the dissenting counselors who was Joel Espiro and Deb Rule basically said, you know, if we want to talk about spending money correctly, this is going to end up costing us a lot to pay these contractors to have done nothing.
Yeah. Let me, you mentioned 6 years and I just looked it up. It's almost exactly that fire that burned down the building that had been there before was in February of 2019. So it doesn't seem that long ago to me, but yeah, so that space has been sitting vacant for 6 years.
Yes.
Aside from just the sidewalk construction, which was the focus of the discussion, did they get into it all in this meeting, or has it come up in recent meetings? When we can expect to see something happen down there? Because it's right downtown.
Yeah, Joshua Torres asked that exact question, and the mayor said that no, they have no idea when he's going to build it. I know that the developer and landowner had a pre-application meeting with the city back in November, but no building permits or anything like that has been submitted. It seemed like there aren't any plans to immediately go after a building. The mayor said that he spoke to the landowner and he seemed hesitant to build. He said repeatedly it's not a good time to build and that the public didn't really like his renderings that were shown off. And so I think that space is in a little bit of limbo right now, which is where I think some of the frustration stems from, you know, because this is just a sidewalk, but the discussion was pretty animated about it. And I think that stems from the fact that there is no progress on that. And the city's kind of just left to pick up the pieces.
Yeah. Does the city have any, I mean, I don't know what it would be, but do you, was there talk of any, you know, of the city taking any kind of action? Is there any action the city can take?
Not that I'm aware of. They discussed a little bit about trying to reverse that 2020 land swap to get the Gunnings Alley access back. Mm-hmm. there was a little bit of discussion there from with legal, and legal basically said, we can't forcibly overchange that land swap.
Yeah.
We'd need a mutual agreement. And that would mean getting the landowner to come to the table. So,
yeah. This is outside my area of expertise. We'd have to find somebody to talk about it. But there is, you know, such a thing as like blight is usually recognized as something that cities have some power to overcome. And you'd think of just a hole in the ground for 6 years would qualify.
But. Well, yeah, and that's something that the city has applied to downtown grants using that as the example of blight. And it's gotten a couple of counselors kind of worked up a little bit, definitely, about it. But I haven't heard of any recourse that the city can take. That's something that I would have to dig into a little bit, a little bit out of my purview as a reporter to know off the top of my head.
Yeah. Well, let's speak, as long as we're talking about downtown, should we move on and talk about the other kind of big changes proposed, at least for downtown?
Yeah, of course.
The Planning and Zoning Committee met to discuss what apparently, as we were talking before we turned on the microphones, this is something that has been in the works for a while, but not at any public meetings, at least. So this is the first that it's really shown up in the papers. What did the Planning and Zoning Commission come up with? What was their meeting about?
Yeah, well, this is primarily a city staff zoning change. The commission was just kind of hearing where City Planner Bill Dean is in that process.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of getting feedback from them to say, am I on the right track? Is this kind of where we want the downtown area to go?
Mm-hmm.
And what he's come up with so far is really tweaking the commercial A zone, primarily downtown. Right now, commercial A is like 200 acres or something like that in the city. It's a very large area. I think it goes all the way down from here to like Safeway.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm kind of looking at the map that you provided in your article there. And I think it extends all the way to Fifth Avenue, both sides of First Avenue to the east side of Fifth Avenue.
Yeah. And I think we can all agree that those are very different parts of Sandpoint.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think about downtown, you think about that nice Safeway that's there, you know?
Right. And there's some, there's some businesses over by Safeway that are clearly in what were once residential homes, you know, that some old residential homes that have been, you know, converted into, businesses, but in part, I suppose, because they're zoned, downtown for the downtown commercial.
Yeah. And so the changes that he's bringing is kind of dedicating two spaces to really defining what downtown is in Sandpoint. There's going to be two new zoning districts, the downtown core and the downtown outer core. He kind of referred to it as like a donut, you know, it's like you got the donut hole and the outer donut. And those zones will have different regulations than commercial A. So one of the big changes that was talked about was in the downtown core, moving away from allowing real estate offices on the ground floor because they want to drive economic activity, and retail does that. Other offices like banks do that because you're walking in, maybe you just cash a check, you're feeling like, oh, I want to go spend, things like that. Whereas real estate offices are, I think they said, really pretty pictures in the window and nobody in there a lot of the time. And so moving away from things like that and getting to really what the heart of downtown is and defining that, which they really don't have right now. In addition to this, Jason Welker said he's going to bring some design standards. So new development downtown could kind of look like downtown is right now and making sure that they keep that moving forward.
Hmm. So downtown, the downtown core would now be just first at both sides of First Avenue, both sides of Second Avenue, and then it looks like just the east side of Third, and it would only extend from on the northwest axis. It only extend to Pine Street and Cedar Street. I mean, makes some logical sense to me based on, I guess, where you see the most storefronts, the most foot traffic, that kind of thing. That seems to make sense. And then the outer core is kind of everything else. How did the commission respond to the idea that there wouldn't be real estate offices in the downtown core anymore? Or was it clear to you? I don't know if they have the power to remove existing real estate offices. They probably don't.
No, I don't think they could remove existing offices. One of the other changes would be allowing some residential space on the ground floor in the outer core, which could mean more housing in that area and more people downtown. And that was something that was received really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the general idea of trying to drive more economic traffic and more people downtown was very well received. I think they might want to look at, the area and make sure that they get the borders right for future meetings. But I think this, just the general idea and of downtown having its own zoning regulation was pretty well received. And they were kind of told that they were on the right track there.
Okay. So this is something, at what point, I guess, in the process are they? This is not something that planning and zoning has even voted on. It's in the hands of city staff right now. Is there any kind of timeline for how long before planning and zoning gets to weigh in on it, and then how long before city council has their say?
Yeah, I think it depends on the discussion that goes on in planning and zoning. For example, the lot coverage and regulation changes, maybe those were expected to move quicker, but ended up being at planning and zoning for a few months. Mm-hmm. So I think it depends on what the actual ordinance looks like, and maybe how the public receives it. I'm not sure that the public is, fully aware of these changes, and that can have an impact on that as well. Jason Welker said at the city council meeting, he's hoping to have it to city council by April.
Okay.
Which would, indicate a pretty lengthy review process in planning and zoning and with the public. So we'll see how that goes. But I think how planning and zoning receives the actual ordinance, which we didn't really see yet, receives those and the design standards and things like that, and then how the public receives them is going to change up that timeline quite quickly, but expect it in April.
Okay. Well, a few short months until planning that's going to just fly by, Jack. I'm pretty confident we'll get to April before you know it. Let's see. The other thing we mentioned there at the top is just Averill Hospitality getting their permits in. Anything? What can you tell us about that? Was that it? This was, of course, expected, but they were pretty much right down to the wire. December 29th was when they submitted their permit. You wrote a good long piece on it. How would you like to kind of summarize that? What news do you have from the Averill Hospitality?
Yeah, this is news that I've been kind of tracking because this in large part and the RV park decision will determine what that hotel ends up actually being.
Mm-hmm.
When I talked to the local representative, Ben McGran, back in August, he said, if we can't get these development impact fees in the 2025, which are lower significantly for the hotel, still a lot, but lower, then we're just going to remodel the Edgewater. And that rendering and everything that you've seen is not going to progress. And so this was a big deadline for them to lock in those impact fees and keep the hotel at least basically what we've seen on track for summer of 2028 as a grand opening. Still, the RV park decision could have an effect on that. They're very interested, I think was the wording that he used, about how that plays out at the Parks and Rec Commission meeting next Wednesday. But this was a big milestone for them to hit to maintain that design that the public has kind of seen and not end up back at the drawing board with who knows what.
Yeah. The reason they were kind of on a deadline to get there before January is that was the new rate schedule goes into went into effect on January 1st for the development impact fees, which are substantially higher for new development. They changed the shape of it a little bit, but it's more or less the same size building, softened it up a little bit, I guess.
That's what he said. They softened it up a little bit more, less of an E, more of a U, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the new renderings, but that'll be, I guess, interesting to see. Was this the first time they more or less came out and said, the RV park going one way or the other is going to determine what they do? Or
no, I think they've said that the whole time.
Yeah.
They've
always had a very keen interest.
Yeah, obviously.
Sometimes explicitly stated, and sometimes, I don't know, their tone has changed a little bit.
I think they've always said that it will impact them somewhat and that they aren't in favor of the RV park.
Yeah.
However, what will change is what they haven't answered. And that's what they've kind of dodged throughout this process, is saying, you know, if the RV park stays, then things will change, but we don't know what yet. So I don't think that that's exactly totally news, but I do think we're getting closer to finding out maybe what will happen as we hopefully come to a conclusion on the RV park, get a decision there, and then we'll see what Avril says.
Yeah. I think before we turn on the microphones, they did say no discussion at this meeting of the RV park, but they're anticipating one at the next meeting of City Council?
Not the next meeting of City Council. So the Parks and Rec meeting.
Oh, yeah.
The 21st, they'll discuss. And then if there are, probably the first meeting in February.
Okay.
However, the next City Council meeting will have the public hearing for the STRs code change and the lot size and coverage regulations, the Title IX changes. So still a big one coming up on the 21st.
That one could get a little testy, I think.
Yes, I think I'm going to get there early.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'll be my plan.
That's probably a good idea. That short-term rental, at the meeting on Wednesday the 14th, it will be, they'll, among other things, talking about whether to lift the, whether to...
That's the 21st.
Oh, the 21st. Sorry. Oh, gosh. I'm throwing everything off. I'm looking at the calendar all wrong. On the 21st, they'll meet and discuss possibly lifting the cap entirely on short-term rentals that can be owned and operated by people not living in the residence. Also possibly implementing other changes to the short-term rental code aside from that. That is an item of great interest to a lot of people in town, I think. So we'll see what happens. Could be a blockbuster of a meeting. Look at this. Time flies by as it always does. And we're coming to the end of our time together here, Jack. Anything else you'd like to draw our attention to or preview from the next edition of the Daily Bee, the next week's paper?
I don't think so. I try to dig into the Bridge Street LLC a little bit in tomorrow's paper. So if you're at all confused by my explanation, go pick one up because it was quite complicated. Tried to get that down there. And then a lot more city stuff coming ahead. I think there's going to be a lot of development stuff ahead, and you know I'll be all over that. So
yes,
that'll be a good time.
Well, Jack Freeman, staff reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee, covering the city of Sandpoint as well as the local education beat. How are things in the schools, by the way? Everything okay over there?
Yeah, I actually just got to tour the new.
I saw your picture of
career.
That. That's cool.
Technical facility, very nice. I got to wear a hard hat, made me feel like I have a real job. So that was nice. Mm-hmm. Things seem to be going really well over there. I'll catch up on it. There's another board meeting on Tuesday, so I'll be there and learning all about the happenings.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to North Idaho News of the Week. We'll be back with more news a week from today. And Jack Freeman has been our guest this morning, talking about what's going on in the city of Sandpoint. Thanks very much, and have a nice day.